Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Samech Hei, and we are in the middle of the Omid on daf Samech Dalet Omid Beis. So yesterday, we learned a festa daf. We touched on some really well-known gemaras. The gemara that says that the Yidin would have really never steeped so low and been Ovid Avodah Zarah. The reason they worshipped Avodah Zarah was as a decoy. They felt that if they would worship Avodah Zarah, every time a mashkiach would get up and give a shmuz, every time the Rav would get behind the pulpit and he would speak to his congregation, he would talk about Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, and he would let them do the things they really wanted to do, such as Gilui Arayos and other Averis. But really, the Yidden were never initially buying in to what the pagans bought it. Now, one thing led to another, as the Gemara said, and the Gemara proved from many places that Basad Aviku Shange, that once they worshipped Avodah Zarah, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. We learned a little bit about when the Chachonim were Mevatel the Yetzah Hara, the Avodah Zarah, and it was done by the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila circa Chilas Bayesheni, and the Gemara says that what led to it was the Yidden got a second chance, and they're allowed to now return to Eretz Yisrael and once again have a Beis HaMikdash. But they realize that if we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and have a Beis HaMikdash again, and we're going to repeat the mistakes we made in the past, then it really doesn't make sense. We're going to lose the Beis HaMikdash all over again. So they said that we have to change something. We have to do something a little bit differently. They felt that the real primary reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of Avodah Zarah. They davened that Hashem take away the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells the story of exactly how it happened. There was no Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah in Bayis Sheni, and it was for that reason that the Yidden were able to continue and thrive for a good part of Bayis Sheni. It's because they did not have that stumbling block, that michshol that had caused the first Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. I'll just tell you one other interesting thing, and I think there's a very important lesson here. And that is, the Vilna Gaon wrote a famous pirish on two Mamori Agada in Shas. So one we learned together, and that is the Agada to Gemara in the beginning of Perek Amoichas HaSfino. The other one is Divrei Agada in Mesechtes Pcheiris Tavches, where the Gemara discusses a debate between the great Tana Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachmei Atuna, the wise men of Athens, as in Athens, Greece. And in some of the Vilna Gaon's commentary on those Divrei Agada, the Gaon says something very interesting from a historical perspective. Hashtag rest of the story. And that is when the Yidden went back to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, it was precisely at that time that the Chachamim got together and they instituted all the Dinei Derabbanan that we have today. So we know that so much of what we have to do and so much of what we're not allowed to do are Midrabbanan. It's not Midrashim. For example, Midrashim, you're only not allowed to eat meat and milk. What about chicken and milk? It's okay. The Rabbanan said you can't eat chicken and malgider. That's just one of many, many, many examples. So when did basar oif and cholov become asar? So the Vilna Gaon said it happened in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And the reason the Chachamim made it asar is for the same reason they mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. They realized they were giving a second chance. And for them to have not changed something, not to have done something a little bit different, to give them a better chance of not making the same mistake they had previously made, they had to make changes. They were mevatel Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. That's this Gemara right here. And additionally, they made certain siyogim, certain harchakis on the Dinei Deraisa so that they shouldn't come back to do these averis again, such as Yisurei Derabbanan. So you're right. During Bayis Rishon, they felt, why does Basar Oif have to be Asar? Whatever's Asar Mideraisa is Asar. Whatever's not Asar Mideraisa is not going to be Asar. But they realized times had changed. And they realized that they couldn't survive without harchakis and fences around their Dinei Deraisa. So it was precisely in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, says the Vilna Gaon, from a historical perspective, that the Chachamim instituted all these Dinei Derabbanan. But I guess the point is, the punchline is, that sometimes a person's given another chance, but if he goes about it the same way, expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity. You have to make changes and do things differently, because otherwise you're going to get the same results. Either way, so we went from talking more high level about Avodah Zarah to a more specific type of Avodah Zarah, and that's Moloch. And Moloch's mentioned in the Torah in three places. It's mentioned in Parshas Achrimos. The Pasuk says, "Umizaracha lo sitain lahaver la Moloch." It's mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim. Vani etin es pona be'ishahu vehichrati oisoi mikerev amoi ki mizare nosal ha-moylach. So there the Torah talks about Moloch, and the Torah says that if somebody worships Moloch, he's going to be chayv koris. And then it's mentioned the third time in Parshas Shoftim, lo yimotzi b'chol maver b'noi u'bitoi ba'esh, koisim k'somim mo'inu manachish u'makashev, but maver b'noi u'bitoi ba'esh, Chazal said is referring to Moloch. So the halacha, idea of Moloch, is mentioned in three different places. We started seeing what Moloch is. Moilech was an Avodah Zarah, or maybe it wasn't an Avodah Zarah. There were Mishorsin. There were these ministers, these galochim, priests that worked, that serviced Moilech. A father would come, he would take his child, he would give the child over to this gabbai. The gabbai would walk the child through fire. Did the child get burnt? Did he die? Is that what happens? It's not clear. So we'll see more about that right now. Some of the details, the laws regarding Moilech. You're not chayiv for Moilech unless the Mishores, this gabbai, actually walks the child through the fire. It's derech havara hechidami. How did it play out? Amar Abaya. Abaya said, "Shraga de livni b'mitzi." There were bricks in middle. Nura mehaygisa. There was a fire on one side of these bricks. Venura mehaygisa, and there was a fire on the other side. And this child would walk through it. We'll see more specifically how this happened in a moment. Rav Amar Rav said, "Kemashvarto de Purya." This was like the fire pit that was prevalent on Purim. So Rashi says, what was this fire pit on Purim? So let's see Rashi inside. The child wouldn't walk on his feet. He would jump. The way the children used to jump on Purim. There was a pit in the ground. And there was fire inside the pit. And the child would jump from one side to the other side, hoping that he doesn't land in the pit. That was the idea. That was this little trick, this little spiel that the child was doing. And that's what Moilech was. So Moilech was not walking, but rather it was jumping. Says the Gemara, that it wasn't walking, but rather jumping. Because the halach is, what does derech havara mean? It means that hevira biregel poter. That if the child walks, he's going to be poter. So you say, Meris, you can't walk. What do you do if you're not walking, you're jumping? That's what Rava said. Rava said it was kemashvar to the Purya, not what Abaya said. The Brisa continues, it says, the only time you chayiv for moilech is if you're moilech one of your children. Your son or your daughter, that's yoytze yirechoy. We saw on the top of the Yom, the Gemara brought a Brisa, even for your 8 o'clock, you're going to be chayiv. Nebodim kemonim when it comes to moilech. But other the imoy, ochev anchoisei poter, hever atzmai. What if you walked yourself through moilech? Poter. Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon says you're going to be chayev. Now Potter chayev, I thought you died, right? I mean, if you walked through Moilech, didn't you burn to death? It's Rashi's kasha. We'll see that in a minute. Echol the Moilech, you're chayev from Moilech. Whether you do this to Moilech, the echol the shara v'dazar, or even if you do it to another v'dazar. Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon, I'm a Moilech chayev shloim Moilech Potter. What's pshat of Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon? Again, this is from yesterday's daf. This is part two of Moilech, right? So what do we see in part one? A machloik is whether Moilech was an Avodah Zarah. What's the nafkemina if Moilech was Avodah Zarah? The nafkemina is if you do this Avodah to another type of Avodah Zarah. If Moilech is just another type of Avodah Zarah, so doing Moilech to Markulis, let's say, would be like being Pyre than Markulis, which it could sometimes you could be Chaya. But if Moilech is not an Avodah Zarah, Moilech is something else. It's a Kishuf, or it's some other sorts, then it doesn't fall under the halachas of Avodah Zarah Shlokidarka. Omar Ula said, my time at the Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon. So there were two machloikis in between Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon and the Chachamim in this Braisa. The second one, that's the one we just mentioned, whether Moilech is Avodah Zarah or not. That's the one we spoke about yesterday. The first one was if somebody is Maver Atzmai. So he's not Maver Bnei Yubitoi, but he's Maver Atzmai. You're going to be Chayev or Potter. So the Chachamim said, you're going to be Potter. Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon said, you're going to be Chayev. How does he know that? Omar Krobi, because the Pasuk says, one of the three psukim that talk about Moilech says, Lo Yimotze Becha Maver Bnei Yubitoi. Now, Pasha, what does it mean, Lo Yimotze Becha? Doesn't mean you, right? I'm not talking to you. Becha, Tzvishanins. Amongst Klai Yisrael, there shouldn't be a Maver Bnei. But the Gemara Darshan's the word Becha, Be'atzmecha. That's what Lazar Rav Shimon Darshan. And therefore, if somebody is Maver himself, he's going to be Chayv. Rabbanon, Lo Yidarshi Becha. So at first glance, the Rabbanon argued, because they're not Darshaning the word Becha, is just a figure of speech, but it doesn't mean literally you. But how could you say that? If somebody has an opportunity to return his own Aveda to himself, or to return his father's Aveda to his father, so Shaloi Kaidemes. My time of Am Rabbi Makro, the Pasuk says, Efes Kilo Yer Becha Evyoi. So at first glance, this Pasuk is a Havtach. Hashem promises, Efes, you should know, Kilo Yer Becha Evyoi. And there'll never be poor people amongst Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara darshins a halacha from here. Efes kilo yeh becha evyoin. What's the halacha? That you are obligated to do something to make sure that you don't become an evyoin. such as if you have an opportunity to save yourself a few dollars or save somebody else, even after somebody else is your father, but what's the point? We're darshaning the word becha as meaning you. Because if becha over here didn't mean you, then it's not talking necessarily to the individual person who found the Aveda, where he has a halach of Efes Kilayir Becha Evyoim. It's more of a general statement talking to all of Klal Yisrael, and the word Becha is a figure of speech. But if the Chachamim learn Shalei Kedemes L'Shal Kol Adam, what does that mean? It means they do darshan the word Becha. So if they darshan the word Becha over there, why don't they darshan L'Yimatzei Becha Mavru B'nai Yubite Be'esh? So the Gemara says Hasamei Efes. Now the point over there is, because being that the Torah said Efes is a Giloy that we're supposed to darshan in this pasuk. That's what the word Efes means, just grammatically speaking. That's our way of knowing that this isn't just a promise. This is a drasha. So what's the drasha? There won't be poor people. Now, you can't control whether other people will be poor or not. You can control if you yourself will be poor. And that's how the Chachamim knew that the word Becha must be talking to you specifically, where you have control of this halacha of Efes Kila Yeh Becha Evyoin. But without the word Efes, we would assume that Becha is a figure of speech. By Lo Yimatzit Becha, Marvu B'na Yubitai, it's for that reason we assume that it's merely a figure of speech. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chanina, Shalosh Krisis B'Avodah Zarah. Why does it say Karis three times by Avodah Zarah? Now, where are the three times that it says Karis by Avodah Zarah? So the Pasuk says, Kidvar Hashem Baza, that pasuk is talking about a good old-fashioned Oved Avodah Zarah. So the classic Oved Avodah Zarah, the Torah says it's Chayiv Kares. It says it twice. He Kares, Ti Kares, HaNefesh Ahi Avodah Zarah. The third place it says Kares is by Moilech. The Hechrati Oysoi Mikerev Amoy, referring to the person that was Nasa Mizari LaMoilech. Essentially, the question is that you have the two by Avodah Zarah, the third by Moilech. Why three? Zakti Gemara as Echas L'Kedarka, V'Achas L'Kedarka. You need the Torah to tell me that this car is for someone's Oved Avodah Zarah Kedarka. You need the Torah to tell me that this car is for someone that's Oved Avodah Zarah Shalei Kedarka, V'Achas L'Moilech. And the third one is for Moilech. Says the Gemara, the man Dama Moilech Avodah Zarah. But according to Man Dama, that says that Moilech is Avodah Zarah. Car is for Moilech. Lovely. Why does it have to say car is by Moilech? Meaning we just saw that there's a machlekes tanoim whether Moilech was Avodah Zarah. So Bishleim, according to the Man Lama that says that Moilech wasn't Avodah Zarah, it's not Avodah Zarah, how would I know it's Karis? It says he Karis, the Karis by Avodah Zarah, but Moilech is not Avodah Zarah. What does one have to do with the other? But according to the Man Lama that says that Moilech is Avodah Zarah, so once it says that for Avodah Zarah, we covered Kedarka and Shalei Kedarka, there's going to be Karis. So Karis ben Moilech Lamali, says the Gemara, Lamavir Benoi Shalei Kedarka. There's still a Chiddush. I would have thought that if someone's Mavir Benoi to another Avodah Zarah, maybe you shouldn't be Chayef. Kamash Malan, that you're Chayef. So that's a special Chiddush already, and the Torah had to say that there's going to be Karis. By the way, when is the Karis if someone's Oved Avodah Zarah? I thought when someone's Oved Avodah Zarah, you get Skila, right? We've been learning the Sugyas of Dinis Kalin, and Avodah Zarah is one of the people that are Chayiv Skila. So when do you get Karis? The answer is if there was no Edom Vastra. If there's Edom Vastra, that's when you get Skila. But if there's no Edom Vastra, this person can't be prosecuted in. So if someone's Oved Avodah Zarah b'nezid, but Bezin doesn't have the ability to prosecute him, Hashem prosecutes him, lo yoleinu, and that's where it's negay the chiyuv karis. Says the Gemara, Lamand, I'm a megadif avodah zarah, karis be megadif lomali. In the parasha megadif, the Torah also says karis. V'nichrasu ha-nefesh ha-hi mikerev am. That's someone that's megadif. Now, what's a megadif? So you're going to tell me mevarech es Hashem. We just learned the whole sugi about megadif. Mevarech es Hashem. But the truth is, it's a machloikis. One mandomer says Megadif is Mavarech Es Hashem. There's another mandomer that says it's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Rashi gives an example of it. Kigoyin Meshoyrer L'Avodah Zarah. If somebody sings or plays an instrument for Avodah Zarah, that's Megadif. Machloek is in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Machloek is what exactly Megadif is. So the Gemara's kasha is similar to the kasha that it just asked about Moilech. Bishloim, if Megadif is not Avodah Zarah, I understand why the Torah had to specifically say that this Karev Karis by Megadif. But according to Man Rama that says Megadif is just another form of Avodah Zarah, so why did the Torah have to say that this Karif is Megadif? If Megadif is Avodah Zarah, then I know myself that there's going to be Karis. So the Gemara, look at the Tanya. The answer is in the following price. He Karis, Ti Karis. He Karis, Ba'ilu Mazeh. Tikores, lo ilam abad divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva darshan. You know why it said he kores tikores? Not like the Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina. Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina said achas lekedarka va'achas l'shaloi kedarka. Rabbi Akiva says no, kedarka shaloi kedarka don't need separate psukim. What then is he kores tikores? He kores lo ilam azeh. Tikores lo ilam abad. Ramban in his Pirush al Torah in Kamakoymoi. But Ramban in his Pirush al Torah, if you want to look it up, it's in in the Parsha Shlach, he talks about different types of koris. This koris b'olam hazeh, this koris where the person gets cut off in with olam haba, then this koris le'aleinu where it can affect the family, ariri. But he koris the koris based on this drasha right here. Rabbi Akiva said the double lashon is that not only koris b'olam hazeh, but also koris le'olam haba. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, "I'll ask you a kasha. V'aloi kvar nemar v'nichrasa." It says v'nichrasa. Where does it say v'nichrasa? In the Parsha Megadif. And Rabbi Shmuel holds Megadif is an Oved Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shmuel is asking Rabbi Akiva, it says, Hikares, Tikares, you're darshaning the two worlds. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. The problem is it says, Hikares a third time. It says the word V'nichrasa. V'chishloisha Olam Yesh. Is there a third world? Is that what the third V'nichrasa is coming to teach me? Elas Rabbi Shmuel said, V'nichrasa of Olam Hazeh, Hikares v'Olam Haba. Tikares, you can't darshan. Sometimes the Torah will use poetic license and say tikares, tikares. So again, what was the kasha? The kasha was according to mandama that it says megadif is an avodah zarah. So why does it have to say v'nichrasa? Who's the mandama that holds megadif is an avodah zarah? It's this Rabbi Shmuel right here. He's the one that said it says v'nichrasa a third time in avodah zarah. What's the third time v'nichrasa? Where does it say v'nichrasa by megadif? So you say meres megadif is an Oved Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Shmuel himself answered the question. He said, you know why it says it three times? Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And he kares tikares. That's not really a third time. Because Dibra Torah, Kalashim and Yadam. So the teretz is that it's really not a kasha. Because he kares tikares is not two. It's not two Lidrasha. It's really one. Because there is an idea of Dibra Torah, Kalashim and Yadam. Either way, this concludes the sugya regarding Moilah. So what exactly is Moiluk? We just went to Gemara with about 10 drushes, so we have a little bit of an idea of what's going on, but I think still the basic picture of exactly what happened when someone was Mavir B'noyu B'tay L'Moiluk is a little bit confusing. And the truth is, it's a very big Machlokes Rishonim, exactly how it played itself out. Rashi, in his Pirush al HaTorah, in Parshas Achrimos, and it's the same exact Rashi right here in his Pirush on Shas, Sanhedrin Samech Tal Gam Beis, and Ramban al HaTorah in Parshas Achrimos. Rashi says that even though the Torah seems to be saying that the way Moilach worked was Umizaracho loisitein lahavu la Moilach lo yimotze b'chom mavru b'no yubitoi ba'esh, but the child did not literally go into the fire. The child either walked through the fire, or like Rava said, the mashvayah to the Purya, the child jumped over the fire, but it was nothing. It was some ritualistic event that took place, but the child was nichnas b'shalom, the yotze b'shalom, everything was fine. Nothing actually happened to the child. Azizok Rashi. And even though maybe when you learned in yeshiva, you thought the child was burnt, but Rashi says you made a mistake. That wasn't really what your Rebbe was supposed to teach you. It's not what happened. The child walked out alive. He was unscathed, as long as he jumped over the pit. But he made it out unscathed. There was nothing that was supposed to happen. It was just some ritual. It was a way of servicing Melech, but you weren't actually giving up your child. Zok Rashi, how do I know that? I know that from the Gemara. Because the Gemara had a machlekes tanoim. What would be if somebody's maver atzmoy lemelech? Chayev potter. What is chayev potter? Chayev skila, you're not chayev skila. Maybe if you did a b'shogeg, you chayev chatas, you're not chayev chatas. If the guy died, then he's not bringing a chatas. Chatas shemesu baleh, by the way. So you're not bringing a chatas if you want to really get kachendik. And you can't give him skila. You can't give a dead man skila. So the question is, what's this machlokes tanoim over? Is that a hashtag? So what's the machlokes tanoim over here? Whether dead man stoning. So what's the machlokes tanoim over here? Whether if someone's maver atzmei lemoilech, whether he's going to be chayv or he's going to be potter? There can't be such a shaila. Zok Rashi, checkmate. I'll read it to you inside. Midik toni lekamon maver atzmei potter alma laacher havara huchay. Must be he's going to lie. Now tell us, Rashi, you can ask me a kasha. That didn't we learn a Gemara on daf samech gimel on the days where the Gemara says that there was an avodah zarah? It was called svarvin. It was called svarve. And people used to take their children, offer it up to svarvim, and the children would burn. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that Achaz, who was Chizkiyo, Amalek's father, wanted to do it to Chizkiyo, and his mother was able to save his life with the salamandra. But you see, there was such an idea. Zok Rashi and Achinami. But svarvim luchud, And Meilech Lechot, there's two dinim, it's not the same thing. Svarvim, yeah, that's what they did. That's a pasuk in the Torah, that's a Gemara. I'm not arguing with that Gemara, says Rashi. But Meilech, as it relates to Meilech, which is mentioned three times in the Torah, and you have a whole Mishnah and a daf and daf yomi dedicated to it, the sugi is a Meilech, that's not what happened. Ramban argues. Ramban is Kirish al Torah. He entertains Rashi. He acknowledges himself that he's not exactly sure of what Meilech was, exactly how it happened. But the primary pshat that the Ramban entertains is that that's not what happened. But rather what happened was, by Meilech, a father would take his son, he would take his daughter, and he would actually serve it up to this Avodah Zarah. Maybe it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but he would serve it up to Meilech, and the child would die. As a matter of fact, the Ramban says that he believes that the Svarvin was Meilech. It was one and the same. Svarvin was Meilech. What was the Svarvim called? If you remember, the pasuk that the Gemara quoted. Va'svarvim surfim es b'neim be'esh la'adar melech va'ana melech elehi svarvoyim. Adar melech, the Gemara said, is from the word adar and melech. Ana melech is from the word anam or ono and melech. It has the word melech in the Shirish. That's melech. Melech, it's the same thing. He thinks that's exactly what it was. And just like you find that's a pasuk in Malachim Beis where they're offering up their children to Svarvoyin, that's exactly what Melech was. The same exact Avodah Zarah that existed back in that day. The Ramban continues, and the Ramban says that the Nevi'e Habal of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel fame, the Nevi'e Avam used to also serve up their children to their Avodah Zarah called Baal. It's Psukim. Umolu es hamokim azeh damnikim. Ubonu es bomois habal lisroif es b'neim ba'esh. He's a psukim in Nach. Lisroif es b'neim is Nach 101. Lisroif es b'neim ba'esh. Zokht Ramban, I think Baal and Moilech was also the same. Baal and Moilech was also the same. What's the shayrish of the word Moilech? It comes from the word Melech. What's Baal? Odoin. Loshin Ramban. Vishneim loshin koroiv b'malchus. The Admus, it's one and the same thing. But the bottom line is, Ramban argues with Rashi, and the Ramban says that what happened with Melech was they actually used to burn their children. I heard recently, somebody was speaking, he was talking about the Akedah, right? The Akedah is very much related to the Rosh Hashanah theme. That's the Shofar, it's the Ayol from Eloi Shal Yitzchak. And he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, and he gives him the Nesayin, the 10th Nesayin, and he tells him to take his son Yitzchak, and he was bringing out the Echos of the Nesayin. And he said that, if you think about it, Avraham Avinu spent his life trying to eradicate the Avodah Zarah. He, as a young child, he already broke the Tzlovim of his father. He took on Nimrod, who was the most powerful king of the world. Nimrod threw him into the Kivshan HaEshin or Kazdim. He comes out alive. Avraham Avinu's mantra is to destroy Avodah Zarah. And Hashem gives him a Nesayin. What's the Nesayin? To go and do with his son Yitzchak what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used, the ultimate sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. To be Mavir Bnai. Now, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah did a Lemoilach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commenting and he's telling him to serve the Avodah Zarah. I was thinking, I never heard that. It's fascinating. That you always think of the Akedah was like, it was a very specific, customized type of tzivui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram. He was saying, no, the truth is this was something that was prevalent back in the time. People used to do a Lemoilach. People used to do a Lemoilach, which was not so posh. It's really machleik. It's going to Rashi. Lemoilach had nothing to do with that. Lemoilach was not an idea of actually giving up your son. Lemoilach, this was something completely different. So we turn our attention from Avodah Zarah to Lemoilach, and now we're going to talk about Oiv and Yudoini. So the truth is that over the next few days, going into Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be learning about different forms of Kishuv. We have time, maybe we'll illustrate some of it. No, but we're going to be learning about different forms of Kishuv. So it's a pasuk in the Torah, in Parashat Shoftim. The pasuk says, Bo el ha'ores asher Hashem alikecha noisim lach. By the way, not all Kishuv is also, so that's what I meant by that. Ki ato bo el ha'ores asher Hashem alikecha. If we could have a guest magician, whatever, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see. Loisum ad lasleis ki toyaveis ha'goyim ahim. A lot of tshuvas, by the way. If somebody does magic with sleight of hand, is that, like at your local Sheva Brachas, so is that a problem? It's like, no. Loisum ad lasleis ki toyaveis ha'goyim ahim. So Torah gives a whole bunch of forms of kishuv that the Mitzrayim were steeped in, that the Kananim were steeped in, and the Torah says, you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm letting you know, this is one of the themes of Sefer Dvarim. Hashem tells the Yidden, I'm giving you the land, I'm taking them out of the land. The reason I'm replacing you or them with you is because they did certain averis, and make sure you don't do the same averis that they did. And one of those things mentioned is different forms of kishah. But specifically, v'chaver chaver, v'shoyel oiv v'yedoini, v'doyrish alameis. Oiv and yedoini. Says the Gemara, what is oiv and what is yedoini? It's a Mishnah. Baal oiv, ze pitaim hamedaber mishech yoi. So this is somebody, a mechashef, a sorcerer, that had the ability to cause the spirit of a dead person to come up to this world. The Baal Oiv would have the spirit come and rest in his or her armpit, and the spirit would speak from Shechgai, from the armpit. The Yedoini, similar concept, Zeh Medaber Bepiv. This is somebody that would take a bone from a bird, or a chaya, Sheshmo Yodua, I'm reading from Rashi. So somebody that does either oiv or yedoini is chayv of skilo vanishol behem. The person that goes to the baal oiv or the baal yedoini, that person, meaning asking him something, you know, should I get involved in this business venture? Can you call somebody up from the dead and let me know? Either way, the one that asks the shayla has an azara. The one that actually does it, the baal oiv and the baal yedoini, are going to be chayv of skilo. So the first part of the sugi is technical. The second part of this gets into some interesting agada. So we have a mission over here that describes oiv and yedoini, that a baal oiv is chayiv skila and a baal yedoini is chayiv skila. Mar's kasha is that there's a mishnah right in the beginning of Masechtas Krisos, Krisos Dabeis, and the mishnah over there mentions the 36 averes for which somebody could be chayiv koris, and it mentions oiv, but it doesn't mention yedoini. So fake the Gemara, how come the Mishnah discusses skila, mentions oiv and yedoini, but the Mishnah that discusses koris mentions oiv, and it doesn't mention yedoini? So the Gemara says, it's machlokes Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon said, ha'il v'shneim b'lav echon nemer. Rabbi Yechon says, the reason is, because when the Torah mentioned oiv and yedoini, the Torah put it together in one lav. And being that the Torah put it together in one lav, if somebody would be oiver, oiv and yedoini, behelem echon, he would bring one chatas. So, being that he would bring one chatas in Masechtas Krisos, which for practical purposes is dealing with the chatas, because Koris is not practical. That's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of. Where Chaybi Krisos is Negeya Os, is if somebody's over a Chaybi Krisos, B'shoigig, he brings chatas. So over there, where we're dealing with the chatas, we mention one. Why one? Because it's really one chatas for the two. But as it relates to skila, it's really two independent lavin, because you get skila for oiv or you get skila for yedaini, and that's why they mention independently. Says you want to know why yedaini is not mentioned in the Mishnah Masechtas Krisos? Because there's a rule. The only time you bring a carbon chatas if you're oiva chayvi krisos, but you do it with a maisa. And yedaini didn't involve a maisa. What was yedaini? Again, I'll read Rashi. Chaya achas yeshashmo yodua. There was a chay whose name was yodua. Umachtas mimena etzem lotoich bish. You would take an etzem lotoich piv, you didn't do anything wrong yet, but the etzem edabim yel by dik shofim. When the actual yudaini happens, it's the etzem that's talking, it's in your mouth, you're not doing a maisa, being that there's no physical act from your part, it's for that reason you're not going to get chata. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, maishna ba'al oiv denokat. According to Rabbi Yechanan, you had to pick either oiv or yudaini. So why'd we pick oiv? Mishon ba'asach beikra, because that's the one the Torah mentioned first. Reish lokish, my time aloyomak Rabbi Yechanan. So again, we have a machloikis Rabbi Yechanan, reish lokish. Why in the Mishnah in Krisos it says only oiv? Really, oiv and yudaini are two different things. So if oiv and yudaini are two different things, so, and that's why in our Mishnah it's mentioned separate, there's the Baal Oiv and there's the Yedoini. How come in Koras it's where we're talking about the Karban Chatas, do we only mention one? Rabbi Yechon said I mentioned one because Balav Echad Nemru, if you do both Behelam Echad, you're going to bring one Chatas. So the Inyan Chatas, it's really only one. That's why it's mentioned as one. Rish Lakish said that no, really you would mention both. You want to know why we mention one, because only one of them involves a Maisa. Oiv involves a Maisa. Yedoini doesn't involve a Maisa. So you don't bring a Chatas when there's no Maisa. That's why we're not mentioning Yedoini. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish, my time loved Rabbi Yechon. Why Rish Lakish only Rabbi Yechon? Why didn't he say his pshat? Why didn't he say the reason Yedoini isn't mentioned because it's Lav Echad together with Oiv? I'm wrap up. Because although it's true that the pasuk that describes the lav of oiv yedoini puts them together, it says oiv yedoini, which suggests that it's one, but the pasuk that says that there's a chi of skila for oiv yedoini says oiv oyedoini. The oi is lechalek. So now they're really separate. If they're separate, if you do Oivi Yadayini Behelam Echad, you're not going to bring one chatos, you're going to bring two chatos. Oh, you're going to bring two chatos. That's why that can't be the reason that it doesn't say Yadayini. What then is the reason it doesn't say Yadayini? Because Yadayini, it doesn't involve a Maisa. And you don't bring a chatos when there's no Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't it say Oiv Oyadayini by Misa? Yeah, but Chaluka Dalav Shema Chaluka. Chaluka de Misa, Loi Shema Chaluka. In other words, there's a derivative machlaikis here between Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlakish. But right, which you find very often in Shas. The machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish was, why doesn't it say Yadayini in the Mishnah in Krisos? Rabbi Yochanan said, is reason. Rish Lakish said, is reason. But as a derivative, when you drill a little bit deeper, what you see is that the underlying machlokes is whether if you have a lav in the Torah that is not chaluk when the lav is introduced, but it is chaluk b'misas. You have two lavin that are mentioned together, behelam echad, so to speak, in the Azara, but not in the Misa. Is that enough for it to say that it's Chaluk, that if you do both of them, you're going to bring two Chatois, or what? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Chalukah the Lav is Shema Chalukah, but Chalukah the Misa is not Shema Chalukah. According to Rish Lakish, Chalukah the Misa is Shema Chalukah. So that's why Rish Lakish didn't learn Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, I'm like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is saying a good reason. He says, Yudaini doesn't involve a Misa. So if it doesn't involve a Misa, that's why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah Krisos. I'm a loch, I see in the Krisos, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that terrace because he held that the Mishnah Krisos is going according to Rabbi Akiva. But don't have a Misa. Also, you don't have to do a Misa. Who's that Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva who holds that Megadev. That Megadev has to bring a chatas. If someone's Megadev b'shoigeg, he brings a chatas. Megadev doesn't involve a maisa. So you see from there that even without doing a maisa, and how do you know that Mishnah's Rabbi Akiva? If you open the Mishnah, you'll see it. The Mishnah over this mentions Megadev, and at the end of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, I agree with everything, with the exception of Megadev. So you see clearly that the Tana Kam in that Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Akiva that holds that you don't have to do a maisa. B'horai, it says Megadev. So if Megadev is enough for chatos, then you don't. You should also be enough to have to bring a chatos. Rish Lakish, okay. So what's Rish Lakish going to do? Nehi d'leiboy Rabbi Kiva Meiser Rabba. It's true, Rabbi Kiva holds Megadev is chayiv. And what you see from there is that you don't have to do a Meiser Rabba to be chayiv, but Meiser Zutaboy, a little bit of a Meiser you do have to do. It says the word Megadev by Meiser. What's the little bit of a Meiser you have by Megadev? Akima Svasav Havi Meiser. Akima Svasav, that is the Meiser. Now, one thing we assumed in this Gemara was that Yudoini is not a maisa, but oiv does involve a maisa. Says the Gemara, Baal oiv, my maiseka. What's the maisa? Meaning at first glance, wasn't it an oiv and yudoine? Oiv, you take the spirit, it rises from the bed, you put it in your armpit, and it starts doing its thing. Why is that different than yudoine? When you take the etzen, you put it in your mouth, and it starts speaking. The Gemara doesn't really know what the difference is. So the Gemara, no, Hakoshas Royosev Havi Maisa. The Baal Oiv would have to clap his arms in order to get the spirit to talk, and that in and of itself is a Maisa. Now the Gemara says, Rafilu Rabbanan. Oiv is a Maisa Luchura, even according to Rabbanan. This next few lines are a little confusing. But how do we know that Oiv is a Maisa, even according to the Rabbanan? Because the Mishnah over there in Krisos mentions Oiv, right? It also mentions Megadev, and at the end of the Mishnah, it says that this is not, that the Rabbanon agree with 35 out of the 36. Which one don't they agree with? They don't agree with Megadev, because Megadev is not a Maisa. It's Mashma, that Oiv is a Maisa. So Marcel, I feel the Rabbanon of a time, but we learned it a Braisa. In a Chayiv alal dova sheyesh by Maisa, you only Chayiv, Chatos. If the Avera that you did, which is Zidoyne Chorus, involves a Maitzkin, Zibuch, Kitu, Venisuch, Vishnachavo, Fuck, Rishlakish, Rishlakish, and Mantanish, Tachavo, Rabbi Akiva, he, the Omar, Loi Beinon, Maisa, Rishlakish said that the only time you'll have to bring a chatas for being Mishtacha, the Labi, the Zor, Beshoigig, is according to Rabbi Akiva, that also you don't have to do a Maitzkin, Beichon, and Argi. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Afilu teim Rabbanan kifas kemasai leRabbanan avi ma'isa." That no, kifas kemasai yishtachavo is considered a ma'isa. But what's the kasha? Hashtol Rish Lakish kifas kemasai leRabbanan lehavi ma'isa. Hakoshas Zra Yosef de Baloiv havi ma'isa. Madoch hishtachavo is not considered a ma'isa according to the Rabbanan. Then certainly Hakoshas Royosov shouldn't be a Maisa according to Rabbanan. Now, will you see Ishtachavah is not a Maisa according to Rabbanan? Because that's what Rish Lakish just said. Rish Lakish said that only according to Rabbi Akiva, if somebody is Mishtachavah B'shoigig, are you going to have to make a Chatas? But if according to the Rabbanan, it doesn't involve a Maisa. So what's the kasha? How could oiv be considered a maisa and a shtachaba not be a maisa? What's the maisa by oiv? We just said, like clapping your arms. Why is clapping your arms any less a maisa than hishtachaba? So first the Gemara says, ki kamar Yishlokish not the Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Yishlokish would agree that according to the Rabbanon, oiv is not a maisa. Av the Rabbanon loy. But the Gemara says it can't be. Like we spoke at a second ago. Ihochi yotze megadev ubal choyv mi boyle. Because if that's the case, then what the Mishnah and Krisa should have said was that when the Rabbanon comment on the Mishnah and say, I agree with 35 out of the 36, what they're really supposed to say is I agree with 34 out of the 36, because Megadif is not a Maisa and Oiv is also not a Maisa, because if Ishtachava is not a Maisa, then why should Oiv be a Maisa? Elo Amar Ula. So Ula said B'makata L'Shed. In other words, what the Gemara just said was, is we had a Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, why the Mishnah and Krisus mentioned Oiv and didn't mention Yudaini. Okay, that we discussed. The second discussion the Gemara has over here is there's another machloekis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and that is hishtachava. According to the Rabbanim that hold that the only time you bring a chatos is if the aveira that you did involve the ma'isa. Is hishtachava considered a ma'isa or is it not considered a ma'isa? Rabbi Yochanan says it is. Reish Lakish says it's not. And that's why Reish Lakish said that there's a brisa that says that if someone's mishtachava b'shoigig yasim yichatos, it's going according to Rabbi Akiva that holds you don't need to do a ma'isa. That Megadif brings l'chatos, but according to Rabbanan not. The kasha is, it's mavur in the Mishnah in Krisos that you bring l'chatos for oiv, which means that oiv is a maisa. And what was the act of oiv? Clapping your arms. Why should clapping your arms be any more a maisa than ishtachava? So why would Rish Lakish hold that ishtachava, according to Rabbanan, is not a maisa, and yet oiv is a maisa? So the Gemara is so impressed by this kasha, and the Gemara says you have to say Rish Lakish had a whole different definition of oiv. Our definition of oiv is you bring the spirit up, put it on your arms. Rish Lakish held, you know what a baal oiv is? Mekata l'shei. It's someone that brings a carbon, and he brings ketores to a demon. Amalei rova, mekata l'shei, everybody does that's. Avodah Zarah 101, that's not oiv. Alamai Rava, you're right. Mekater l'chaber. What it means is, you're mekater, and your intent of being mekater is to try to get demons to come together. So one of the things mentioned in that those psukim that talk about Tishav is v'chay v'chaver. What does v'chay v'chaver mean? So we're going to have it in a second. It's someone that brings animals together. So there was some sort of incantation of some form of magic that people knew how to do where they were able to get chayas and things to all come together, get the wild together. That was something that they had an ability to do. If somebody does that to Shadim, you get Shadim to convene, that right there is what's known as Oiv. Now that involves a mice, and that's why Oiv is mentioned in the Mishnah over there. But the Gemara's kasha is, Amalei Abaye Mekata L'chaber Chayver Chaverhu. Isn't that a Chayver Chaver? And what's the kasha? The kasha, the punchline is not mentioned in the Gemara. The kasha is Chayver Chaver we know doesn't get Skila. And Oiv does get Skila. So the Gemara in. Ordinarily, a chayver chaver doesn't get skila. That's if you're chayver nachashim, akrovin, some other animal. But if you're a chayver chaver, when it comes to shadim over there, you're gonna get skila. Tanu rabbanan, chayver chaver. What is that? Echad chaber god of echad chaber kot. It doesn't matter if these are big wild animals, lions, tigers, bears, or if they're smaller animals. You're gonna be chayv. Afilu nachashim akrovin. Amar abaya abaya said hilka chayman. That's someone zibura akrava. If somebody brings a zibura and an akrava together, these two little insects, afagav to come chayman loy visku. Even though his intent is simply because he doesn't want to get hurt, usser, it's still going to be usser. It falls under the purview of chayver chaver, because it's not only a chaver gadol, it's not only shadim, but even little animals. If you use this kishuf to get the animals to come together, you're going to be chayver. Rabbi Yochanan, fake the Gemara, one more kasha on the more technical note. Maishna de kvifas kemase de rabbanon havi maisa, va kimas svasov loy havi maisa. So he mentioned that it was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, hishtachavva. Is that considered a maisa not? There's a brisa that says if someone is mishtachev al avodizar b'shoigig, he brings a chatas. Reish Lakish said that brisa is going according to Rabbi Akiva. That holds you bring a chatas when you're a megadif. So too, you bring a chatas if you're mishtachev. Rabbi Yechanan argued. Rabbi Yechanan said mishtachev is a maisa even according to the Rabbanon. Yet, megadif is only a maisa according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara's kasha is maishno ishtachava mi megadev, or maishno kfifas kemosed rabbanon havi maiso. Akiva svasov loy havi maiso. Amar Rava said shani megadev hilva yesh nibbled. You're missing the point. You know why megadev is considered lav shein by maiso? Because what's the crime of the megadev? What he said? No, it's what's inside of him. It's what he thinks. It's what he's feeling. It's what he believes. So the Ikar Avera is Belev. It's like Tfilos, Avodah Belev. So this is the antithesis of that. Megadeth is where someone is Belev, he feels that. So being that it happens primarily Belev, what if someone's an Eid Zoymim B'Shoigig? An Eid Zoymim in a way where he should have been Chayiv Misa. So Edom Zoymim get Kashazom and Lasas Lacha. So if Edom Zoymim wanted someone to get killed, they'll be Chayiv Misa. But what if it was all a Shoig? Would they bring a Chatas or not? So it's a Braisa. Yotzu Edom Zoymim in She'em Bahem Maisa. What's the kasha? V'amai holes nu believe. It's not believe. And if it's not believe, why don't they get? Why don't they bring a chatos? Amar Rava. Rava said, "Shani edim zoymen hoyel v'yeshnim b'kol." Because edim zoymen, it's not the akimas fosayim that's there that they're doing. It's more what they're getting bezdin to hear. So the avera is the koil. And the koil is a dovar she'en by manish. It's considered, therefore, a lav she'en by maisa. I ain't rashi. The Gemara says, the color of Yechon lav maisu. Are you going to tell me wherever the punchline of what you said is the koil? It's not considered a maisa, but itmar chosma the koil. If someone's over, like, sachsim shor bedisha be koil. Vin higa be koil. Rabbi Yechon amar chayiv. Vresh lokish amar potter. We spent a lot of time on this when we learned perikashoyal. Shab Yechon says chayiv, and Rish lokish says potter. Rabbi Yechon amar chayiv akimas bil havi maisa. Rish lokish amar potter akimas bil lo havi maisa. Now, what was the. But someone is able to sach some sharp edition because it's the noise that gets the animal not to continue doing what it's doing. So you see, the coil is considered a maisa. Even though it's the coil, we still look at it as a kimas pit. So why is it zayim different? Elo amar rova shani edim zayim hoyel v'yesh nebiriyah. The reason zayim is different is because the ikar aver of the zayim happens when he sees. The eid sees, and that causes him to say. We had this idea earlier in the masechta that the ri'iyah is considered the ikar part of the eidus. Even though you would think it's the actual testimony in court, that's the ikar part. It's not. The ri'iyah, the Edim, when they see what eventually is going to lead them to come to Bezin and to testify, that's always considered the Iker. So therefore, when you're dealing with an Eidzoyim and you want to know, does it involve Maisa or not? So even though Akimas Piv maybe is a Maisa, maybe it's not a Maisa, but the point over here is that we look at it from the standpoint of the Re'iyas. In other words, what Gemara came out with is that really, the Rabbanan agree Akimas Piv Havi Maisa. That's where Rav Yechonon holds Chosman B'Koil, you're going to be Chayiv, because Akimas Piv Havi Maisa. Even though the Chachamim hold the Megades is considered in by Maisa with regards to Chatos. And even though the Rabbanon hold that Edom Zoymimin is considered in by Maisa, you don't make a Chatos, the difference, the reason that's different is because there it's not a typical Akimas Piv. We don't look at that Vera as being the Akimas Piv. By the Megadeth, we look at that Vera happening Belev, because it's what he's thinking that's the problem, not so much what he said. And by Edom Zoymimin, the Ikur, the Edus is the Re'iyah. Again, these are very subtle svaras. The Ikur is the Re'iyah. And being that the Ikur is the Re'iyah, we don't look at that as being an Ein by Maisa either. Tanu Rabbanan, Baloiv. What's a Baloiv? That concludes the more complicated part of the daf. Zeh Hamedabre Bein HaProkim. That is somebody that causes a spirit to arise from the dead. And it lands bein aprokim, between the person's joints, umibein atzile yodav, or under his arms. Yudoini, what's yudoini? Zeha miniach etzem yodua pib. That's someone who takes the bone from the animal yodua. He puts it in his mouth. Vehu medaber meyel, and it starts doing what it does. Meisve, fek the gemara akasha. Is that really the way oiv happened? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya where Yeshaya says, "Vehoyu ka'oiv me'eretz koylech," that your voice is going to be so low, says Hashem. I'm not gonna be, it's gonna be like the oiv. Pasha, what does it sound like? Oiv me eretz koilech. The dead person who's crying out from underground, but nobody can hear him. So doesn't it sound like that? Where's the koil coming from? Not from above ground, it's coming from underground. My lav the mishtoi ki urche? What does ki urche mean? From the grave? It's not necessarily what it means. It could be, it's in the joints. And that's where it's talking from. Toshma, v'atoyme ro'isha el shol, elekim ro'isi oile min ha'aretz. The woman, the Baal HaSoiv tells Shaul that I saw people coming up from the ground. We'll see that in a minute. So this pasuk right here is referring to a very well-known incident that's mentioned in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Ches, that describes Shaul HaMelech going and taking counsel by a Baal HaSoiv. At first glance, this is a very, very difficult parasha in Nach to learn. The answers are simple, but it's kedai, as we're learning the sugyas of Oiv, to know a little bit of the rest of the story as it relates to Oiv. So this is Shmuel Aleph, it's Perek Chof Ches. The pasuk says, Vayiba yomim mohen, vayikbitzu plishtim es machaneim l'tzova v'yilochim b'Yisrael. Shaul HaMelech was king. The Plishtim gathered the Machan of Klal Yisrael. They want to fight a war. And the Pasuk sets the stage. Ushmul Meis. Shmuel HaNovi had not been alive at that point. Not just that, v'shol heiser ha'oivos v'sa yedoyni me'aretz. At that point, Shaul had eradicated all the oiv and all the yedoyni from the land. So Shmuel HaNovi was holach le'ilamai, and there was no oiv and there was no yedoyni in the land at that point. And now the plishtim v'yikovtu v'yivoy v'yachnu b'shunim. They're coming and they're going to attack the Yidden. And Shaul HaMelech's not sure what to do. The pasuk says, v'yiro, he was scared, v'yechra di'boy ma'oit. He wasn't sure. What should he do? Should he fight? Should he not fight? He wasn't sure how to go about it. The pasuk says, "Vayishal Shaul b'Hashem," because Baruch Hu Shaul daven to Hashem, v'lo yano Hashem, but Hashem didn't answer him. Gam b'chaloymos, gam b'urim, gam b'neviim. He did everything he could possibly do, but he wasn't getting an answer. He was getting no feedback. He didn't know what to do. Vayomer Shaul avodav. So Shaul told his slaves, "Bakshuli ishes balas oiv the elche ele the edushaba." Are you aware of a balas oiv anywhere in the world that's alive that I can go to her? I want to summon someone from the dead. I want to find out whether or not I should go about this. Should I fight this war or should I not fight this war? Now, ostensibly, Shaul had already eradicated all the oif, so there wasn't supposed to be oif. However, they told him, there is one woman, she lives in Ein Dar, she's a balas oif, she survived. If you want, I can take you there. The pasuk says, Shaul dressed up incognito. He went together with two people. They arrived by this woman at night. Shaul HaMelech, she not knowing that he's Shaul, says, "I want you to summons with oiv and bring up the spirit of the person whose spirit I'm going to tell you to be." You know that Shaul, she's talking to Shaul, she said, "But you know that Shaul HaMelech, he already wiped out all the Ivy United from the land. You're setting me up, right? You're an undercover agent. You're setting me up. You want to catch me. Because really, I deserve to die the way all the other balas oivs died." Shaul swore in the name of Hashem, "Chai Hashem im yikreich avoyim badavar hazeh. Nothing bad is going to happen to you from this. Trust me." So the woman was convinced, and she said, "It's me, Alala. Who should I bring up?" And he said, "As Shmuel Halili, I want none other than the ruach of Shmuel Hanavi." So the woman sees Shmuel. She starts to yell. And the woman turns to Shaul. "Why you lie to me?" Now, how did she know he was Shaul? So Rashi says, because we're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara says that when the spirit would come up from the death, it would come up backwards, feet first. And the Balas Oiv saw that Shmuel's spirit was coming up Bakovedig. It meant that the person that Shmuel was going to was someone that Shmuel had an obligation to respect. The only person it could have been was Shaul HaMelech. And that's how the Baal HaSoiv knew that this must be Shaul HaMelech. Vayomer lo HaMelech. So the Melech told the Altiri, "I told you, don't be afraid. Kimara Isa. But what did you see? Tell me, what do you see?" Atemer Ishal Shaul, "Elokim ro'isi oylemin ha'aretz. I saw two people. Oylemin ha'aretz." We'll see in a minute who those two people were. "Vayomer lo mata aroy. Can you describe him?" Vatemer ish zokein oyla. Vahu oitem me'il. Vayeda shmol kishol kishmuhu. Shaul knew that this is Shmuel. Vayikoy da poyim arza vayishtachabu. He bows down to his Rebbe Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Shmuel tells Shaul, "Loma hir kastani lahalu zoisi. Why did you make me so nervous? You know how afraid I was when I heard you're here? When they summons me, I got so scared." Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul says, "Tzarli ma'id. I feel terrible. But who plishtim nilchamim me? The plishtim want to fight a war against us. The likim sar me'olai v'loyanani yait. And I tried all the more conventional means of finding out what I'm supposed to do. I davened. Urvetumim, Nevi'im, Chaloimis, nothing helped. Gam b'yada Nevi'im, gam b'chaloimis, v'ekru, oh, loch le'di'en ma'es, I don't know what to do. Vayomer Shmuel, v'loma tisholeini." He says, "If that's the case, if nobody answered you, then you should have gotten your answer." He says, "What do you need me? V'ashem sar me'alecha, v'yi arecha, v'yi Hashem lo'i kashadibi b'yadi." You know what's going to happen? V'yikra Hashem esam amlocha miyadecha, v'yitno l'reyacha l'david. And the reason is, kashale shumata b'kri l'Hashem v'lo'i sisach arnabu b'amolek. And he brings up the Aveira of Agog melech amolek, and he tells him why exactly this is going to happen. And of course, Shaul leaves, and he leaves in a terrible place. V'yikra es begodov, the pasuk, he didn't have koich to walk out. Because Shaul realized this was it. It was all coming to an end. And the Baal says, "Let me give you some food. Let me give you a little bit of kayach." And the rest is history. Shaul, of course, goes and he fights. and he ends up losing, and the Plishtim, they kill Shaul. Shaul actually killed himself before the Plishtim killed him. That's why he's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as an example of someone that's allowed to be ma'abed atzmai ladas, to maintain his covet, being that he was going to die anyways by the Plishtim. But the bottom line is, this is the story of the death of Shaul HaMelech, which was precipitated by Shaul HaMelech going to the Baal HaSoif. So the obvious question is, how was Shaul allowed to go to a Baal HaSoif? We just learned the Mishnah. The Baal HaSoif is Chayiv Skilo, and even the Nishal is Nazar. So the short answer is, it was Pekuach Nefesh. I mean, it was Pekuach Nefesh, not just for Shaul, but it was Pekuach Nefesh for all of Klal Yisrael. That was why Shaul was allowed to do it. But we'll just conclude with one fascinating thing. And that is, there's a Gemara, this is in Yonah B'Yoyma, there's a Gemara, Masechtes Chagiga, Daf Dalet Amid Beis, Rabbi Lazar, Ki Mati Lahaikra Bochi. Rabbi Lazar, whenever he would come and read the following pasuk, he would cry. Vayoyme Shmuel al Shaul, Lomahir Gastani Lahalo Yisoysi. Shmuel turns to Shaul, he says, you know how scared I was? You know how afraid I was? I was tittering. What was he tittering from? So the rest of the story is, because Shmuel thought that they were coming to give him Din V'cheshbon, that he was being summoned to Beis Din Shomaylo, and they were going to give him Din V'cheshbon, and he was afraid of the Beis Din Shomaylo. So Rabbi Lazar would read this pasuk, he would cry. He said, "Uma Shmuel HaTzadik koyim misyori min adin." Madav Shmuel HaTzadik was so afraid. Anu alachas kama v'kama. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Mai, how did Rabbi Lazar know that that's why Shmuel was afraid? Maybe he was afraid because of something else. Dichsev, because the pasuk says, "Vatoim ro ishel shol elokim ro isi oylim." This is a beautiful Gemara. Oylim trema. But there were two people that came. Shaul didn't ask for two people. Shaul asked for one person. He asked for Shmuel. Why did two people come? Zok the Gemara chad Shmuel. One was Shmuel the Idach, and the other person was the Azal Shmuel, because on Shmuel's way, he went. He went and he brought Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, because he was afraid. He thought he was going to have to give Din V'cheshbin. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be standing right next to him in court, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, "Kumba adoy, stay da. I want you to testify on my behalf. And now you're going to testify by standing here. The lekum milsu de kustus way rice to the account. There's nothing in your Torah. Torah is much that I didn't observe." So Shmuel Anavi knows that he's going up to Din V'cheshbon right now. And he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to be standing, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be his Sanhedrin. He's going to be the one that's going to be Malamed Tzvos. He wanted it, right? He wanted his Gemara next to him, because this Gemara will say, Eidus. That's what he wanted. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to lay some milk for the customs by rights like he had. And that's why there was Oilim. And that's how Rabbi Lazar knew there must have been a chash. That was the value. That's what he was afraid of. It was Din V'cheshbon. But we'll conclude with a classic Meshach Chachma. Rabbi Simcha said, why in the world did Shmuel think he was giving Din V'cheshbon now? Shmuel had died a little while ago. Shmuel already gave the Din V'cheshbon that Shmuel had to give. Why would he have thought that right now, at this second, he was giving Din V'cheshbon? So Rabbi Meir Simcha said, based on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeri, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kolo Omer B'nei Shmuel Chatu Eimer Yavotai. If somebody learns Nach and he thinks that the sons of Shmuel sin, he's making a mistake. Now, what do you see from there? That it's possible to make that mistake, right? It's possible to think that the B'nei Shmuel were Chatu, but wasn't that. The pasuk says, "Vayiki zokin Shmuel ubanav lehalchu bedrachav." Sounds like they did averus. The Gemara says, "No, bedrachav udal lehalchu, but michta nami lechato." They didn't mind. They weren't like their father, but it doesn't mean that they did averus. Says Rameh Simcha, Shmuel was worried about his children. He wasn't sure how his children were behaving on this world, and when he heard that he was summoned to Din, he thought that maybe it's not for something he did. He already gave Din B'cheshbon for his life, but it was for what his children were doing. Because a person is going to be credited, and a person will be punished, says Rameh Simcha, not only for what he does, but for the hashpa that he has on other people. So if you're having a positive influence on somebody, and that person is doing good because of you, that's going to be a credit to you even after you die. And if a person, to the contrary, has a negative influence on somebody, has a negative hashpa on somebody, that's going to be a debit loyalato to that person even after he dies. Shmuel HaNavi knew that he got his own private Din V'cheshbon. But Shmuel also understood that Din V'cheshbon is not something that happens one time, but it's constant. It's always moving, because as people are being influenced from things that you set in motion,
you're getting credit, or faked, it works the other way as well. And says Ramei Simcha that Shmuel was afraid. He was afraid because he knew his sons didn't go bedrachim. Now Rabbi Elazar learned this Gemara, and he said Shmuel Hanavi was afraid. Shmuel, he says, if Shmuel was afraid, Anu Alachas Kama V'Kama. It's true. That was the Musa Rabbi Elazar got. But as it relates to why Shmuel would have thought that he had to give Din V'Cheshbon at this point, says Ramei Simcha, it was not because of anything he did. It was because of what he had said in Moshe. Just one new raid bite, and that is, so the Gemara on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Beis, in its detailed discussion of the laws of Moilach, brought a braisa that said, that it says in the Torah, U'mizaracha loy siteng lahavr la Moilach, and we learn from there that a person is only over the Isser Moilach if he's maver mizaroy, but not if he's maver kolzar. In other words, the Torah said, mizaracha, that it's some of your children that you're not allowed to be maver l'moilach. If, however, somebody would be maver all his children, in that instance, he would not violate the halachas of moilach. The Marsha, in his Chidushei Halachos on this Gemara, says the following, quote, Kosev ha-smag, lavin mem. The smag in lavin mem says, v'yesh bazeh tam l'tshuvas ha-minim, that if you want to know how to respond to a min, if he questions you on this Gemara, the answer is as follows. Because when somebody gets Misas Bezdin, he's being punished. But in addition to him being punished, he's also getting kapara. And this person that was maver all his children on Moilach, he did such a terrible avera, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want him to get a kapar. In other words, the smag was being ma'ir that at first glance, this gemara is very, very tzarech bir. How's it possible that if somebody is maver mizari l'moilach, he violates this or Moilach and he's going to be chayav skilo, yet if somebody is maver kol zari l'moilach, he does not? Says the smag, the answer is because Misas Bezdin is an oinish, but Misas Bezdin is also a kapara. And because a person got kapara when he got Misas Bezdin, there's an argument to be made that it could be someone that did the lesser avera. He was Nosan Mizari Lamoilach. That person can get the kapara of Misas Bezdin, whereas the person that did the greater avera, he was Nosan Kolzari Lamoilach, that person would not be able to get the kapara. Meaning, from the perspective of the Oynish, it makes no sense that somebody that was Nosan Mizari Lamoilach gets the Oynish, but somebody that was Nosan Kolzari Lamoilach doesn't get the Oynish. But says the smag, there's another way to look at it. Not from the Oynish perspective, but from the kapara perspective. In other words, in Misas Bezdin, on the one hand, it's an Einish. On the other hand, it's also a Kapara. So you're right. From the Einish perspective, it has no Havana. But you want to know what the Tshuvas Aminim is? Look at it from the Kapara perspective. It actually makes a lot of sense that the person that did the lesser Avera can get the Kapara, yet the person that did the greater Avera would not be able to get the Kapara. So the Marsha brings this mag, and then he says something that's quite famous. He says, "Umizen nira losis tam hoda minim v'chol duchto de'in oinshim v'naden." I think that this mag is a schlüssel to a new understanding of Ein Oinshim V'Nadin. So we know that the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatera Nidrashas Ben is Kal V'Chaymer. Stating that, the Gemara in different places limits the scope and the application of Kal V'Chaymer. One of those rules that govern Kal V'Chaymer is Ein Oinshim V'Nadin. So if you have a Kal V'Chaymer, but based on the Kal V'Chaymer, what's going to emerge is that someone deserves a punishment, be it Malkus, be it Misas Bezdin, maybe even Oinshe Mamoin. The rule is you can't apply the Kal V'Chaymer based on the din of Ein Oinshe Menadin. Says the Marsha that at first glance it's very sasam. Why Ein Oinshe Menadin? You can use a Kal V'Chaymer to learn Dine Torah, Essen and Lavin. So why then is it that when it comes to Oinshe, the rule is Ein Oinshe Menadin? Says the Marsha, I think the answer is this smag, because it's mavur in the smag, a new svara, and that is that it could be, although there's a kal v'chomer to be made, that if somebody does the lesser avera, he's going to be punished. Certainly if you do the greater avera, you're going to be punished, but there's a counter argument to be made, and that is every oynish also has a kapara component. So maybe the person that did the lesser avera, he can get the kapara, but the person that did the greater avera, he cannot get the kapara. It's for that reason, says the Marsha, ein oynish menadin. You're right, the kal v'chomer is screaming and saying that if the guy did the lesser avera, he's punished. Certainly the person who did the greater avera should be punished. The teretz is, That's true from the Einish perspective, but there's a Kapara perspective as well. And it could be that only the person that did the lesser Aveiro, he is someone that's shayach to this Kapara. But the person that did the greater Aveiro, he's not shayach for the Kapara, and it's for that reason Ein Oinshin Min Adin. And this goes down as the Marsha's Pshat in Ein Oinshin Min Adin. So whenever you see Ein Oinshin Min Adin, and you look in the Achronim a little bit, they're always Mitzayin the Marsha, in the Sechta Sanhedrin. Where is it? Samech Talad on the days. It's in the Sugi of Moilach. It's based on this smack who was coming to explain how is it possible, in light of just basic svara and in light of the mitzvah of Kal Vachomer, that if someone is maver mizari lamoilach, he's chayv skilu. Yet if somebody is maver kol zari lamoilach, he's not going to be chayv skilu. Now the reason this marsha is a chiddush because it's not the pashu pshat in Ein Oinshin Min Adin. What's pashu pshat in Ein Oinshin Min Adin? Right? If somebody asks you why is it Ein Oinshin Min Adin? The reason is because every time you have a Kal Vachomer, there's always a possibility that there might be a pircha on the Kal Vachomer. We always speak out the Rabbi Chanan said that he heard from Reb Chaim that the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin daf Yoram Midbeis v'kvar sholach Yoichanan ben Bagbag Eitzel Reb Yehuda ben Beseril in Netziv. I'm skipping. Muchzakani b'chosha atabaki b'chedri Torah. I understand that you're a baki in kol ha'Torah kula and lidrish b'kal v'chomer i'ato yedeya, and yet you don't know how to darshan b'kal v'chomer, and he was questioning him on a certain sugya with regards to an arusa bas yisrael that's a chelos betruma ayin sham. But Reb Chaim said Reb Chanan asked that I don't understand. Reb Yoichanan ben Bagbag told Reb Yehuda ben Beseira, I know you know Kol HaTorah Kula. You don't know how to darshan the Kal Vachomer. Fake Reb Chaim, to darshan the Kal Vachomer, you don't have to be a baki. To darshan the Kal Vachomer, you have to be a lamdin. To darshan the Kal Vachomer, you have to know a svara. Why is the preface of Iyat Yodea Lidrash Kal Vachomer, Muchzakani ani bechotcha at the baki bechedri Torah? What does Bekias have to do with knowing how to make a Kal Vachomer? Kal Vachomer is a milsa toli besvara. It has nothing to do with Yedias Hashas. It has nothing to do with being a Sinai. It has nothing to do with Bekias. So Reb Chaim said, you're right. In order to darshan the Kal Vachomer, you need to be a Baal Svar. You have to be an Oikahara. But to know that there's no Pircha on the Kal Vachomer, for that you have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. In other words, you can have a Kal Vachomer from today till tomorrow, but you need to make sure that there's no Pircha on the Kal Vachomer. Throughout Shas, the Gemara will mention a Kal Vachomer, and the Gemara will say this Teichiach and that Teichiach, but the point is that's the Pashut reason why Ein Oinshin Min Adin. Because really, to darshan a Kal Vachomer, you have to be Baki B'Kol Chedrei Torah. So, Azal knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and they darshan Kal Vachomer. But when it came to Oinshin, when it came to punishing somebody, then they took a little bit of a step back. Then they were a little bit less confident in the Kal Vachomer because maybe there's a Pircha, and because maybe there's a Pircha, so that's a reason not to give somebody Malkus. That's a reason not to give somebody Mises Bezin. That's a reason not to punish somebody. So that Pashup Shad in Ein Oinshin Min Adin is maybe there's a Pircha. The Marsha's being Mechadash and Upshad. He's saying Ein Oinshin Min Adin. Why? Because maybe the person that did the lesser Aveira could get the kapara that comes along with the einish. But the person that did the greater avera, dafka because his avera is so great, maybe it's for that reason this einish is not enough of an einish, meaning it's not enough to give him kapara, so we're just going to punish the person without him getting the kapara that he's supposed to get. So that's definitely not okay, and it's for that reason Ein Oinshin Min Adin. The truth is that over the years we've mentioned additional reasons for why Ein Oinshin Min Adin. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Engel in his base Ha'oitzer, in Klal Aleph, he is melakit 9 different reasons that he found amongst the Gedoyli Achroinen, like Pachis v'lo Yosef. 9 reasons why it is Ein Oinshin Min Adin. One of the fascinating reasons that he gives is based on the Bnei Yisachar, who quotes from the Mizritcha Magid, who said that a Kal Vachomer is a skula l'refuah. So what's the background? So it's based on something that the Svarim HaKadoshim say, and that is we know there's Yud Gimel Midos Shatern Nidreshes Ben. There's also Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamin. And the Magid said that each one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatern Nidreshes Ben is mechuvin to one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamin. So the Magid said, what's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatern Nidreshes Ben? It's Kal Vachomer. What's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamin? Kale. Now, the truth is that the Bali Tosfos have a discussion. What is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim? Hashem, Hashem, Kale, Rachum. And they come out, either it's the first Kale or the second Kale. But the Mekubalim said that it's the first Hashem or it's the second Hashem. But the Mekubalim said that the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim is really the Midah of Kale. So it comes out then that Kale is Mechuvin Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatarnu Dreshes Pem. And Kale is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. So based on that, the Magid said that it would come out that if a person darshins a Kal Vachomer, he's ma'ir the midah of Kale. Now, what's the midah of Kale? The midah of Kale is the shem of refuah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened for Miriam, who was a mitzayra, she was a chayla, said, "Ana kel na refana la." It's the midah of kel, and it's from there the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the darshan of kavah chayim is a school of refuah. So said Rabbi Yosef Enkel, you want to know why ein oitzim and adin? Because when you darshan kavah chayim, you know you're bringing good tidings. You're bringing psuras tayves. You're bringing refuahs, yeshuas, and nechamas. Ein oitzim and adin. It can't be. In pnimius, there's no such mitzias of oitzim and adin. Because the minute you darshan the kavah chayim, you're being ma'ir kel, and that's the midah of refuah. And if that's the case, it's not possible. So in Meglach, said Rabbi Yosef Engel, that the result of a kalva chomer should be a noinish. Either way, this is all dvarim atikin. But I want to tell you something fascinating, and that is the Marsha starts this well-known piece. Kosev asmag lavin mem v'yesh bozeh tam l'tshuvas haminim. That you should know that in the world of dam mashetoshev women, this Svara is the answer to the question that the min might give you a hard time with. And the question is, seems to be a little bit of a rest of the story here. And I believe that the rest of the story is the following. So over the years, it's Yodua, there were many times that Gedolei Yisrael were forced to debate the Noitzrim in a very, very high stakes debate and a high stakes disputation. Some of the more famous ones are the Vikuach of the Ramban, the Radak was involved in a famous Vikuach, Rabbi Yosef Albo was involved in a famous Vikuach, Rabbi Yontif Lipman Milhuizen, the Baal Sefer HaNitzachin, these are all Rishonim, he was involved in a very famous Vikuach. Rabbi Chilni Paris was also involved in a very famous Vikuach. Now the background to the Vikuach of Rabbi Chilni Paris is, this took place in France, it was in the year 1240, and it's interesting because it wasn't so much a vikuach of Yidden versus Neutzren, but it was more the Yidden being forced to defend the Talmud. So the church had levied certain allegations about the Talmud, saying that we don't mind the Jews practicing their religion, but at the same time, if they're going to study the Talmud, that's not okay. And the reason is because there are certain provocative statements in the Talmud, which we believe is not okay. There's certain things they say about us and the Neutrim and the Akum, etc., etc. And it's based on that they felt that the Talmud needs to stand trial. And depending on how it works out, they're going to make the determination whether it's okay for the Yidden to study the Talmud or whether it's not okay for the Yidden to study the Talmud. Either way, the date was set. It was in June of the year 1240. The debate, the disputation was going to be held in the presence of the King of France, who was King Louis. They were all King Louis, but this is King Louis the Ninth and his Rebbetzin. The queen was present as well. The prosecutor was a Yisroel Meshumid. His name was Nicholas Donin, who once upon a time was a Goyim be Yisroel, who had obviously veered off the Yiddish path. And the Yidden were told that they should present four of their leaders to come and to represent the Jewish cause to defend the Talmud. Now, the four Gedolim that came forward were Rabbi Chilmi Paris, Rabbi Moshe Mikutzi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi David Mimilon, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Shloima, who was from Chateau Thierry, some region in France. But the bottom line is, it was these four Gedolei Yisrael who were given the job to defend the Talmud. Now, it's known as the Vikuach of Yechiel Paris because he was the Rosh HaMedabrim and he was the one that actually did the talking. But in reality, there was a group of attorneys that came together and their job was to answer all these claims. Now, if you go through the Vikuach, so really there were multiple different arguments that were being made. If you wanted to classify it, there were the Yeshay and Noitzri arguments. Then there were arguments related to different comments that the Gemara makes that are derogatory to Akum, the Amevin Yavin. And in addition to that, there were arguments where they were arguing there's certain things in the Talmud that seemed to them to be silly, different Divrei Agada, and just different Gemaras that they were questioning the Gedolei Yisrael about. And again, it was the job of these four Gedolei Yisrael to defend the Talmud. Now, to be clear, it wasn't so much Jewish lives from a physical perspective that were at stake, but it was more the Talmud, the Gemara was at stake. Because in the event that the Yidden were going to lose this disputation, that meant that Gemara was going to be banned. Now, if the Gemara is banned, then there's no Yiddishkeit. Hamevin Yavin. But it was being done under the premise that France is a Medina Shal Chesed, and King Louis and his queen are very, very tolerant of the Jews, and we're 100% perfect with freedom of religion, and the Jews should be able to do their thing. We're not questioning the Jews and their way of life. What we're questioning now is the merit of doing what we do, of Daf Yomi, of studying the Gemara. And this is what they were being forced to debate. Anyway, this Vikuach has been transcribed. It's been translated into English. It's obviously a very, very, very famous Vikuach. But there's one line in the Vikuach. It's actually towards the beginning. That's very, very interesting. And that is as follows. Now, it's not clear, by the way, who wrote this Vikuach. Yesh Oimrim, Rabbi Chilmi Pariz wrote it. Yesh Oimrim was a Talmud of his, an eyewitness. But I'm reading now from the Rishonim. This was either written by Rabbi Chilmi Pariz himself, or this was written by one of the other Talmidim, presumably one of the Ba'alei Tosfos. But either way. Vayiftach ha'osein es piv vayomer. Referring to Nicholas Donin, right? It says in your Torah, "Hamavir kol zari lemoylech pater." That if somebody is mavir kol zari lemoylech, he's going to be pater. Yet then hevik tzas mizari chayif shenema mizare v'loy kol zari Sanhedrin samichtal amades. So said Nicholas Donin, the Osoin v'alzev al kayotze b'yupoli kol ruach. He says any person that has any soul inside of him is going to read this Gemara, is going to be taken aback. Umiyamin lozois. Who can even believe it? That if a person will take some of his children and will be maver them lemoylech will be chayim misa, yet them here belachdoi vehever kol zarei oz yipate me misa. It makes no sense. So Nicholas Donin makes this argument and he says, you see, the Talmud's ridiculous. Why? Because this Gemara, how's it possible that if someone's maver kol zarei lemoylech, he's going to be pater, but mizari is going to be chay? Vayakumu ha-hagmoidim letzachik. All the hagmoinim, all the ministers that were there, you can manage visualize this. They all start laughing. The gamma malka nifla, and even the queen, she was very taken aback. She was like, wow, she was aghast. What a silly din. It makes no sense. Wow, you're saying so good. Vayana Rav Yoimer. But then Rabbi Chilmi Pariz, he's defending the Talmud. He's the Reish Shemit Abram. He got up and he said, Oy, Yobay Hayoim, there's a day that's going to come. Shaloi Tetzachako. For Loi Taligoza, that you're not going to laugh and you're not going to scoff at us. Av Tisnachamud, you're going to feel bad. Al Asher Asisim Kainim Tuchlu. Because of the way you reacted. He says, I see already, this is indicative, this is towards the beginning of the debate. He said, I see already how you're going about this. Meaning, you're levying accusations, you're not even giving us any, you're laughing at us, you're just making fun of us without even hearing the other tzav. Why don't you hear me out before you start laughing? And then Rabbi Chilmi Pariz continued to talk, and he said, Ona Adonosi. Turns to the queen, and he says, Your Majesty, Shimi no midli, I want you to hear what I have to say. Mi chata yoisa, tell me, who sinned more? Ha-hoyrik ish echot ishnayin. Someone that kills one person, or somebody that kills two people? Atana malkava toimer. So the queen said, of course, ha-hoyrik shnayin. Ha-hoyrik arba, and then she continued, she was a London, and she said, if somebody kills four, chayte yoisa mi ha-hoyrik shnayin. It's even worse if you kill two. Kala moisev laharoik. This is easy math. So the Rav said, "Emes omarta v'yoisher posharta." So he says, "Listen, v'neksib the Torah. It says arba misas bezin skilas reifa herik b'chenin. The kulam nimsru lebezin laharik es hamechuyev ba'achas mielo. The chol hamumis, you know." Rabbi Chilmi Pariz told the queen that any person that was given misas bezin mizvada had to say vidui, had to confess his or her sins. But as nimchulu lo yavin oisav. And then the person got mechilas abaynus. Became a tzinu va'achan. You find that by Achan. She'amar lo Yeshua. Yeshua told him, Yachrecha Hashem b'yoyim hazeh. Pirish, hayoyim hazeh ata ocher. Kedei you're going to be ocher. Abal ein ata ocher loyim abo. Sanhedrin em da'al ramadeis. Hilkach, it's for that reason said, Rabbi Chilmi Pariz to the queen, here's the punchline. Kishab mikzazaroi. When a person is maver mikzazaroi, ho yechayiv skilo. Umisvade, umiskaper. Abal kishab kolzaroi. But if the person was maver kolzaroi, shechotin yoyis. Now he sinned even more. This person, because his avera so chomer, doesn't deserve the kaparo. It's for that reason he's not going to get killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everybody. He is going to punish. And this time was noisachem b'neim. When they heard this, the queen says, you're 100% right. And this debate got off on a very, very good, solid ground because of this argument that was made by Rabbi Chilmi Pariz. This argument is the Tshuvas HaMinim that the Marsha is referring to in Chedushi Halachas. But here's the rest of the story. The Marsha quotes the Smag. He said, Kosav HaSmag Lavent Men. You know who the author of the Smag was? Rav Moshe Mikutzi. He was one of the four Gedolei Yisrael that were defending the Yidden in this debate. It was Rabbi Chilmi Paris, it was Rav Moshe Mikutzi, it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav Dovid Mimilon, and it was Mishmuel ben Rav Shloimeh from Chateau Thierry. But the point is, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, the Smag, was one of the members. That's the rest of us. I didn't say anyone shtal v'suba. So posh it. This is what it is. Because of a Smag, the Smag himself, he was in the court in front of King Louis IX and his queen. He was literally standing there, and they came with this argument. And even though to us, it's also sorry, I mean, this is a great, but this was a kasha. And in the world of Dan Mashatosh of Apikoris, in the world of Chuvas Aminim, this was a very, very big deal. So the Smag says, me can't Chuvas Aminim. You want to know the rest of the story? This is the rest of the story. But I just want to end with one last thing, and that is, so we're bringing up the Vikuach of Rabbi Chilmi Paris, this disputation for the second time here in the Machzor. The first time was on Daf Mem Gimel, the infamous Daf with Yeshe HaNoitzri, the censor Daf, where the Gemara talks about how the Sanhedrin gave Yeshe HaNoitzri Misas Bezdin, and that Gemara and some of the other Yeshe HaNoitzri Gemaras were a big thorn in the side of the Chachmei Yisrael, right? Most of the Vikuchim centered not around Moilach, it centered around all those Gemaras, and this was a very, very big deal, the amount of Jewish blood that was spilled because these Gemaras are in L'Shaib, in L'Tayim. It was a very, very, very big deal. And we mentioned Rabbi Chilmi Paris said a Chiddush. He said a Chiddush that the Ramban didn't agree with in his Vikuach. And really, this goes down as the Chiddush Rabbi Chilmi Paris, and that is that all the Gemaras that talk about Yeshe HaNoitzri are not referring to the Yeshe HaNoitzri, but they're referring to someone else whose name was Yeshe, came from the same place. That's why he had the same name, Yeshe HaNoitzri, but you have the wrong guy. It's a mistaken identity. It's a fake ID. And the reason to make the argument is because really the Gemara's narrative of Yeshe HaNoitzri and the Noitzrim's narrative of Yeshe HaNoitzri, just on a very simple, superficial level, don't seem to add up. The Gemara at the end of Soita says that Yeshe HaNoitzri was a Tam Reb Shuvan Prachia who lived around the time of the Hanukkah story. That's hundreds of years before when Yeshe HaNoitzri was allegedly born. And you have even that Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that the Sanhedrin gave Misas Bezdin to Yeshe HaNoitzri because he was a Mesis Umadiach. Yet, according to the secular version of the history, he was crucified by the Romans. Now, it was done because of Jewish influence, perhaps. But the point is that he wasn't killed by the Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Chilmi Paris in his argument, and if you go through the Vikuach inside, he bangs it out, sharp. See, you have the wrong guy. I don't know what you're talking about. He says, this is not the same person. Go through the Gemaras. Our history of it and your history of it don't really align. But I'll tell you something interesting. Echod Mimnei HaChabura, a very good friend of mine, he left me a voice note with a very, very stark kahara. He said, it's poshet, l'chayra, if you do back-of-the-envelope arithmetic, that it can't be that the Sanhedrin actually killed Yeshe HaNoitzri. He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, why? He said, because we know the Gemara says that 40 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin went into Galus. They left the Lishkas HaGazus, and the reason they did it was because they didn't want to pass in Dinei Nefashos. Now, we know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70, the Mispara, which means that the last time the Yidden gave Misas Bezdin was approximately in the year 30. Now, Yeshe HaNoitzri, we know he was born in year 0, and the history is that he lived 33 years, which means he was killed in the year 33, which is 3 years after the Bezdin stopped giving Misas Bezdin. So if that's the case, it's poshut math. It's impossible that the Sanhedrin killed him. And it must be the account of the Noitzrim is the real account. Now, what's shot in our Gemara? So maybe it's a right Rabbi Chilmi Paris. Maybe it's a decoy right raid that we spoke about. But the bottom line is, he asked very good. At first glance, if you do the math, it just doesn't work out. Right? 70 minus 40, which is 30. He's killed in 33. L'chari, the Sanhedrin not giving Misas Bezdin. It's a very good kasha. But there's a very simple answer to this kasha as well. And that is, it's enough in a Tosis. And the Tosis is in Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin, and Medes. The Tosis is in different places in Shas. And he's going on a Gemara, where the Gemara says, Tonik Bechiski, Yerim Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Afal Pisha Batal Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin was battled, about Arba Misas Le Batal. Meaning, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no more Sanhedrin, which would mean there's no more Misas Bezdin. Abedin Arba Misas Bezdin Le Batal, a very, very well known Tonik Bechiski. Freita is a kasha, that why did the Gemara say, it sounds like, when did Arba Mises become bottle? We know the Gemara says it was 40 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. So why does the Gemara say that from the time of the Churban there was no more Mises Bezdin? It happened already 40 years earlier, says Tosfos. It's true that the Gemara says that 40 years before the Churban, there was no more Mises Bezdin. Based on the fact that the Sanhedrin left the Lichkas HaGozes, you can't get Mises Bezdin anymore. However, Mikol Makan, Kishahayu Royin Tzairich Shah, if they ever saw a Tzairich Shah, Hayu Chayzrin the Lichkas HaGozes, they would go back to the Lichkas HaGozes, Ki Ahi Uvda, like this story, Ukayot Sabai. So it says Tosfos that it's true there was no Mises Bezdin already 40 years, but that means Ba'ifin Kavua there wasn't. But the Tzairich Shah, sometimes they would go back. That's the answer to this Ha'ara. The answer is that it's true there was no Mises Bezdin 40 years before the Churban, but that's Ba'ifin Kavua. But with Tzairich Shah, that already was okay. But I'll tell you something even more interesting, and this is the rest of the story, and we're going to end with this. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos' Lashon is V'yei Shloimar, Mikol Makan Kishahayu Royin Tzairich Shah, Hayu Chayzrin L'Lichkas HaGozes, Ki Ahi Uvda U'Keyotzabai. Yeah, uvda. What's that uvda that Tosfos is referring to? We take a look at the Rashash in his Agoyis on the Gemara, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Agoyis on the Gemara. They manish are not sure, and they assume that what Tosfos means, if you look at the context of Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara just told the story about Shimon ben Shetach, who said, Ere ben Achama leiro isi echa charatz acha chaver l'churva, one of the famous Gemaras in the Sechta Sanhedrin. And they ask, Hahi uvda of Shimon ben Shetach? Shimon ben Shetach is a contemporary of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Circa, Yanei HaMelech, Chanukah story. He lived way before this whole shmooz. He lived in the 18th century. It's the 21st century. What shaykhis? Vukum taran, ahu uvda. Why are we talking about Shimon ben Shetach? And Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Rashash, they mamish by tzarchin, they have no avon on what Tosfos means. But the reason the Rashash and Rabbi Yaakov Emden didn't know what Tosfos meant is because they had a censored Gemara. If you look at an old Gemara, Pre-Chisreni Ashas, with a Tosfos on the side. You know what it said in Tosfos? Tosfos about this, V'yesh loyna, V'yikom makin kisha hayu royin tzairich shah, hayu chayzrin l'lishkas ha-gazis, ki ahi uvdo di'yeshay ha-noitzri. Those words were taken out of Tosfos, because why have another Tosfos that talks about this? But the bottom line is, what Tosfos was referring to was Yeshay ha-noitzri. In fact, Tosfos is raya to his yesoid, that although the Sanhedrin went to Galus and stopped giving Mises Bezdin 40 years before the Churban, but Letzayruch Shah they would. And you know what the Raya is? The Raya is Yeshay HaNoitri. Tosfos also did the math. And Tosfos knew that Yeshay HaNoitri lived into those 40 years. And he lived into the 40 years. How could the Gemara, Mem Gimel, the censored Gemara, say that the Yidden killed Yeshay HaNoitri? The Teretz is, it's a right. This is not just a Teretz to this Kash. It's a Mefurish Tosfos. It's a Mefurish Tosfos. If you have the uncensored version of this Tosfos, the Prichis Reni Ashas Tosfos, it's a Mefurish Tosfos. Either way, just revisiting this fascinating topic and the fascinating Vikuach of Rabbi Chilmi Paris. And this ends the first new Rate Bite on today's stuff.